The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I often feel grateful at the end of a sitting. I often feel grateful for the people who I've meditated with. And so I express my thanks for this opportunity and to be with you this way. And for this evening, I would like to give a talk or talk a little bit about this topic of compassion. And certainly we live in a time now where there is a lot of suffering. A lot of suffering that is now shared by many people, shared either because of the difficulties of the time affects people personally, so many people, or shared in that there's so many people who care now and who are acting in response in some way or other to try to make a difference or offer their support. And it's quite a phenomenal event that the globe as a whole, that we should really be sharing this degree of personal challenge, collective challenge, this degree of suffering, this degree of concern for people who are dying, people who die, people who are in the hospital, in the intensive care, people who are not sick but having trouble finding enough food, or not lost their work, and now don't have enough money to take care of themselves and their family. And just goes on and on, the challenge that so many people have right now. And so how do we live with all these challenges? How do we live in the middle of this suffering that's personal or shared with everyone else on this globe by our knowledge and understanding of it? And Buddhism, kind of, in a sense, Buddhist practice begins with suffering. And a certain way, Buddhist practice ends or is destroyed with suffering. And a lot depends about how we relate to the suffering and how we respond to it and how we live with it. And there are two basic movements that a human being can have when they encounter suffering in themselves or suffering in the world around them. And one is somehow a movement out into the world, and the other one is a movement in to one's inner world, to oneself. And both those movements, inward and outwards, can be either healthy or unhealthy. Any one of those two movements can be involve affliction, or it can involve the alleviation of affliction. Can involve causing more harm, more suffering, or can involve the end of suffering. So there's two movements. So the afflictive ones, the suffering that brings more suffering, to suffer and produce and perpetuate suffering in ourselves and the world, has to do with when we meet our suffering with resistance, we meet it with despair or angst or kind of get contracted or somehow we get caught in the grip of the discomfort and the fear and the distress and the preoccupation, the weight of it all. And it's easy enough to do that. It's such a natural thing, and there's so much challenges that people have, and things are so difficult. But it's possible in kind of being under the weight of one's own suffering to produce more suffering. And outward is to assign blame or attack or to push away or to create an other, the people I'm not going to have anything to do with, or the people who are wrong, the other is to pull in, to carry the burden of the suffering of the world on one's shoulders and feel overwhelmed by it and feel collapsing on it or feel pity on it or feel caught up in the grip of our fear and anxiety of what's coming. These are all very natural human tendencies to do this. And so it's not like to condemn it exactly, but to recognize that there is a way of being with suffering that just brings more suffering. Sometimes it spills over and we cause suffering to harm to others. Sometimes it moves inwards and we cause harm to ourselves. Sometimes it's natural enough to do these things because it's so confusing. People feel helpless and feel so threatened by all what's happening. And so there's these movements that can be afflictive, that involve. And then there's the other movements, also going outwards and going inwards. And the outward one that doesn't produce more suffering has to do with our care for the world. To feel the suffering in the world, feel our own suffering, and to care for it. To step forward, rather than fight or flight, it's to approach and soothe, to open up to find some way, our way, it's appropriate for us, to step forward and care. And it's so important, the more the suffering we experience in the world, and the more we suffer inside of ourselves, to find some way to offer our care, our kindness, our support, our generosity. Feeling helpless in the face of these kinds of challenges just makes it more difficult. And helplessness is often a condition that leads to some of the afflictive ways in which we relate to suffering. And so to be able to do something, to care in the even the smallest little ways, even if it's just with our good thoughts and our goodwill towards ourselves and to others. But so to care, and one form that care takes is compassion. The heart's desire, one definition of compassion, of karuna, is the trembling of the heart of good people. So the vibrations or the trembling, the shaking of the heart, the empathy of the heart, and the language is of good people. We're all good people. We're all capable of being good people. And so to be able to relax and rest in our goodness, to find that goodness, and to care from there, to feel the trembling and the care for the world from there. And then out of that trembling, to suffuse the world, to spread into our world with eyes of kindness, speech of kindness, actions of kindness, that to show the world we care. And I mentioned earlier, doing it at the speed of love. And I think this is a very important idea, that love is actually quite slow compared to other things we call the speed of. It's a lot slower than the speed of light. It's a lot slower than the speed of sound. It's probably a lot slower sometimes than, you know, the traffic on the freeway. Love takes its time. Compassion takes its time so that there can be a calmness about it, a groundedness in it, so that it can be make contact, so you can see clearly what's there. You don't want to rush your love, because rushed love probably trips over itself. But to take your time to find a way to gently open to it and feel it and do it in a way that feels safe for you, to offer compassion. So that's one of the great movements, outwards. And in this sense, I also refer to that as outwards, as also outwards to yourself. From that light in your heart, you can also bring love and compassion to yourself. And it might be that you're the most important recipient of your compassion. There's a teaching that that every individual is worthy of their own love and care. And one of the reasons for this is that this light of compassion that we have, if it doesn't really go through a clear being ourselves, when it's going to go out in the world, it often gets kind of mucked up. It often gets kind of tripped up, or it gets dimmed a little bit, or even goes dark, even though we're trying to be compassionate. But without somehow learning to care for ourselves, not necessarily so that our suffering goes away, but that so there's space or ability for our compassion to somehow go through our own pain, our own challenges and our own difficulties, and hold it with care and kindness, not struggle with it so much, not condemn it, not run away from it, but somehow have the capacity to open to it in a kind, supportive way. And it might still be there, but that creates the capacity for love to go further and go out. And then perhaps our love for the world, our compassion for the world, can be more useful. And one of the ways it can be useful when we are suffering ourselves is that we can sometimes understand much better the suffering in others if it's similar to our own. That our own broken heart, our own pain and challenge and struggles is almost like the ways in which we can have more empathy, the ways we can have more understanding, and the ways that our compassion and care is not going to be conceited or arrogant or indifferent to others. There's maybe a kind of in compassion, it's better to have a little bit of humbleness, humility about it than to step forward with confidence and bulldoze yourself into caring for everybody else. And so there is some kind of value of offering compassion and care to yourself so you can better offer it to others. So that's the movement outwards in a sense. The movement inward that's healthy and is how we can suffer to become free of suffering is to experience suffering in ourselves or in the world. And then rather than having karuna, compassion, have an emotion or a motivation that's called samvega. And there's different definitions of this concept, but I kind of interpret it as being the strong motivation to practice, to engage in mindfulness, to engage in the practice of concentration, loving kindness, compassion, to enter into a path of practice to free ourselves from suffering, to discover for ourselves how not to be carrying the burden of our stress, our distress, our grief, our fear, our resentment, our angers, our greed, our disappointments, all things that can happen in this life to everyone, but how not to be burdened by it and caught in it and carried and pushed down by it, how to move in the opposite direction, how to become liberated, how to be able to lessen the suffering and dissolve the suffering and find the other side of that suffering. This is one of the great noble tasks of a lifetime. This is a noble task, a dignified task of tremendous value to really have some vega, to really be motivated. Yes, I want to suffer. I want to find the path out of suffering. I want to practice now. This is the time to practice. There are certainly times when we can do both. We can have compassion for the world and a strong motivation to practice. One way that works together is that some people, because they have all this compassion for the world, they really want to make a difference for the world and help other people not suffer. They realize, I have to do the work first. If I don't know how to come to the end of suffering, if I don't know how to be wise and how to compost suffering into the freedom from suffering, how can I ever offer that to other people? How can I even support that in other people or recognize that that's a possibility for other people? One of the greatest gifts to give and one of the greatest possibilities is to really discover a heart, an inner life, a mind that doesn't suffer, that knows how to be at peace, that no matter what happens around us, does not get into, doesn't get contracted or resistant or doesn't feel the weight of it or get closed down, but to be able to stay open and transparent and porous, to be able to feel clearly and deeply what goes on in the world, but to not suffer more because of it. And to do that so that we can better serve the world. So this is a way that compassion and the samvega, karuna and samvega, can work together. It's also, it depends on our circumstances. There are times when one seems more important than the other. Perhaps if you're in the medical field right now, that maybe this is a time where your compassion for the world really is really needed, so you can go to work and support so many people. If you're sheltered at home and you have a lot of time, there are such people, maybe this is the time for Samvega. This is the time to really practice more, to meditate more, study the Dharma more, study the Dharma of your heart more, really kind of understand what's going on here, be motivated. This is important. Not to watch more Netflix. Not to just be distracted and read endless news and just feel the trouble with the weight of it. But to rather say, this is important, the noble path of freedom from suffering. I've been waiting for a long time to have enough time to meditate after work. I have all these things I have to do. And now I'm not working. Now I'm home a lot. I have extra time. Maybe this is the time to have the Samvega, this passion or this strong sense of, some people call it Samvega urgency, the sense of urgency. This is the time to practice. And so these two are healthy movements in relationship, in our encounter with suffering. To meet it with compassion, and act accordingly, whatever way that's appropriate for you, or to meet it with our desire, our aspiration, our strong intention to find the end of suffering, to find the alleviation of suffering, not just for ourselves, but also for others as well. It's one of the greatest things a person can do in their life is to do this practice in a deep way. And to really get to the bottom of suffering, the bottom of our conceit, the arrogance, the bottom of our attachments, and really kind of discover what they have to see, experience them dissolved and disappear, and experience the possibility of a liberated heart, a peaceful heart, a heart that finally is at home in itself, is at ease and safe, and then carries that safety out into the world where things are not so safe. Imagine that. So these two great movements. There's two noble movements, and to use Buddhist language, there's two ignoble movements. The ignoble movement of anger, hostility, attacking, pushing away, closing down, the ways that suffering causes more suffering. The ignoble way of collapsing or blaming or getting contracted or getting more and more wrapped up in fear or distress or self-criticism or condemnation or self-pity. And there's many ways. It's so painful to have this kind of collapse internally. And it's not really healthy to do that. It's very easy to do that, and it's not easy to say to pull out of it. It needs a lot of care, a lot of compassion, a lot of self-valuing. Almost not believe the negative voices about, you know, that say that you're somehow wrong or bad or inadequate or incapable. Everyone is capable. Everyone is capable of beginning to take the noble path, the noble path of compassion or the noble path of the path of liberation. Everyone's capable. But in this theme of the speed of love, the speed of practice is maybe also quite slow. Don't feel like you have to do it too fast. Don't feel like you have to make big steps and strides. And in this, maybe your way is slow, but slow and steady. The tortoise wins the race. Slow and steady, and that's what I've seen in my practice in life, is not big steps and dramatic, you know, leaps into some kind of great resolution of suffering. I've seen the slow, steady growth and slow movement, sometimes imperceptible, day by day, week by week, but the ongoing dedication, the samvega to practice, this is important, is, we're all capable of that. And though we have to find what way works for us in our life. And then finally, I want to say that, this marriage, this bringing together of karuna and samvega, compassion and the sense of the compassion, suffering with others, and the passion for practice, the strong zeal, motivation, desire for freedom and liberation. To bring these two together and have them work together and support each other is probably the noblest of the noble ways. This is the path of the Buddha. This is the path of the people who are most wise, is to bring together these two and be practice for the welfare and benefit of all beings everywhere. To practice for the welfare and benefit of yourself, absolutely. And practice for the welfare and benefit of all beings everywhere and all the ones you encounter along the way. So thank you so much for participating and for listening, and I hope that you'll give some consideration to these two movements of inward and outward, and how to suffer. We're all going to suffer in all this. How to suffer so that it's the end of suffering, not to suffer so there's more suffering. May you come to the end of suffering. And until that day when your suffering ends, may it be lessened. And may you experience and know that there are many, many people in this world who care about you, care about your welfare, and want to support you as you find your way. Thank you very much. And one announcement, some of you come here on Mondays. So next Monday, I'm teaching a retreat, so I won't be here Monday night to give this talk. But I will be back here in 2 weeks. So be well, and I will, during this retreat that I'm teaching, continue with the early morning, 7 a.m. here in California, a little teaching with 30-minute sitting and the 15-minute talk. So if you want to continue kind of coming to IMC or like this way, next week when the retreat starts on Saturday, next week, I'll still continue that morning teaching. So may you be well, and thank you.